Welcome back to Not Above It, the serious podcast for people who love. No. No. It's the it's the podcast for serious people
It's
who
a
love
serious
unserious TV. It's a serious
podcast.
podcast. We'll keep that in.
It's a serious
Anyway.
podcast for serious people, or at least pretenders to that throne.
Yeah. I'm Jake. I'm a serious podcaster.
I'm Tasia. I am not a serious podcaster and definitely not a serious academic.
We returned last week with our first episode of our second season, moving on from the wonderful Housewives of Salt Lake to cover a deep cut in the Bravo cinematic universe, the beloved cult favorite. I would say it's a cult classic in the truest sense, in terms of as far as Bravo can have a cult classic. Not many people know about this show, but those that do really love it. And that show is The Real Housewives of Vancouver. We are covering episode 2 of season 1 today.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm becoming more and more increasingly fascinated with these housewife deep cuts. The single season
Oh
or
man,
a couple seasons.
you are going to love The Real Housewives of DC.
This is the one I was also
When
recommended today.
you get around to it, you are really going to enjoy it. That
Oh.
is, I mean, honestly, I will, I think it's the wildest season of any Housewives show I've ever watched. It's crazy. I mean, to have a national security incident
It.
unfold on screen is
It's just so
bananas.
pow it's powerful.
To have your tapes requisitioned by the Secret Service is iconic. I mean,
Obama's Secret Service.
that word gets thrown around a lot, iconic. But
Yeah, that is like that
that
is
is
truly, I mean,
the main woman, the woman involved in that party crashing incident, Mikhail Salahi, is like, I mean, she's bananas. Even by housewife standards, like the mendacity and the delusion, the combination of the mendacity and the delusion in
love
one
it.
body is unreal. She claimed to be like a Redskins cheerleader. She was not. She claimed to have MS. She did not have
Oh
MS.
boy.
At least we don't believe she had that. There is strong evidence to the contrary that she.
Sure.
And then, her and her husband claimed to be invited to Obama's first state dinner with the Prime Minister of India back in 2008, and how did they got in. They were not on the list, and they just blustered their way in, which I honestly is impressive, I
That
think.
is a real power move. Like,
Well, and also their skills are being misused. They should have been like Mr. and Mrs. Smith assassins, like working for
for
the
sure.
CIA or Mossad or something.
Well, no comment. But yes, it seems as though they really missed a bunch of opportunities to worm their way in or bluster their way in to different all sorts of different places and
Well, on
venues.
the show they crashed like three different events. They crashed like a Congressional Black Caucus dinner, and they crashed the state dinner,
That's
which is crazy.
so
I
impressive.
know.
Oh
Neither of them are black.
no, I no way. Shock.
Do you think the ending would have been different?
Oh, you know what? No, once again, no comment. I'm the queen of no comment today.
As scary as the Salahis may be, they do not hold a candle to some of the women on this show in Vancouver, I think.
Oof.
I mean, some of these women are like truly some of the most diabolical housewives I've ever
Yeah,
had
some of the
the pleasure slash displeasure of watching.
Okay. Yes.
But we start off with meeting this woman, Marika, who I've coined in our notes as the Canadian Britney
I think this is
with an
roughly correct.
She really?
There was something grasping about her that I liked because it
Yeah.
wasn't quite as out of control as Britney.
No,
Like,
it's not quite Brittany Marlowe level, but it's like,
no.
I'm trying to think of a. It's a bit like, you haven't watched Jersey, which you should. There's a woman on Jersey who's pretty great named Kim D. There's multiple Kims on Jersey, and they go by their initials, like Angie K.
Profound.
Kim D is like a frequent background figure in the show, who also you get the sense that she doesn't really desire too hard to like actually get on the show full time. Like she sort of happened to
Right.
be the
To be a
background
bit of
player.
a satellite.
I do think this Marika woman wanted to be on the show at some point and was perhaps considered for it and got sort of downgraded or something.
Some that feels right.
I was shocked when she spoke like fully as a Canadian.
Yeah,
I took one look at this woman.
I
I was like,
know.
this woman's Russian for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, no. I was doing some definite ethnic white race science. It's a very important pastime of mine. You really have to know. It's important to know what kind of white person you're dealing with because they, when you're a black person like myself, because they will act differently.
Yeah, you get Cool Ranch white person,
Well, I mean,
salt and vinegar
you can
white
get salt and
person.
vinegar. And because it's Canada, sometimes you get an all-dressed white person, which is the superior flavor
All
of
dressed
potato
is
chip. Yeah.
what does that taste like?
It's like this.
Like an Italian dressing kind of thing, or
No, it tastes, it's a mix of like
like
salt,
an.
vinegar, barbecue,
It's like
ketchup, and
it's the
something
everything
else.
bagel of potato chips. Got it.
They're incredible. Like
I'll say something that's
when.
probably going to raise some hackles and is probably
Uh-oh.
going to disgust you, but I don't hate a ketchup chip.
No, they're not for me, but I get why people like them so much.
I'm not going to go out of my way to eat a ketchup
No,
chip, but
nor I.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, no, I get that's the thing about ketchup chips. Having grown up in Canada, I get them. I get it. I'm not a big ketchup person in general, so
Neither am I. I actually would say that the ketchup chip is preferable to ketchup.
yeah, that might be true. Ketchup is something that you can use and like add to a different sauce. It cannot stand on its own. That is
Oh,
for children.
absolutely not.
Ketchup is for children. When I was a young person in Canada, as in a kid, I went to a daycare, and I was very little, but I went to a daycare, and there was another little girl at the daycare who I think was a couple years younger than me. Like for me, it was like after school daycare, and for her, it was like after kindergarten daycare. So she was, in half day school or whatever.
Got it.
And this little girl
What was her name? Do you
only
remember
ate
her name?
ketchup. Her
Do you
name was
remember
Marissa.
her? Marissa. Well, you know what?
Marissa.
Marissa, that is a name. That's the name of a ketchup eater.
All she ate was ketchup. No one could get her to eat anything, even with it. And she was like painfully thin. It was like, okay, parents, this is getting like my mom. I think my mom was infamous for sticking her nose in other people's business. Said something to her parents at one point because we were, saying to my mom, oh, Marissa only eats ketchup. And my mom eventually said something to her parents, and then we had to be withdrawn from daycare.
Oh
So,
no.
yeah. So
Was
Marissa, if you happen to Google my name and this comes up for some reason,
it...
I really hope that you eat more than ketchup
Yeah,
now.
the blood sugar must be out of control. Was that a white baby?
No, she was
Really?
a little teeny teeny Wajin baby.
That okay. That's
Yeah.
okay, so half. But I was going to say there is, since we're talking about white race science, this phenomenon of like children refusing to eat certain things and only eating one,
Yes.
that is a white child thing.
Yeah, that's a white
And
kid thing.
I, to my mother's credit, my mother is white, not something I got away with as a child, but all the people I know who did get away with that,
Are white kids.
white
Yeah,
as snow.
so my brother attempted that because I have a white mother and a black father, and
He
my
was gonna
brother
try something.
he tried with my he tried because my mom would let him kind of get away with this pickiness, and he would try it with my dad, and my dad was just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what? No.
What do you mean you don't like curry chicken? This
You
doesn't
are
make sense.
you are a tax dependent.
Yeah, like you don't pay rent here. You don't do anything here except eat the food, go to bed, go to school. That's all you do. You don't get to choose.
My mom is white but ethnic, so I think that may have played a part of it. But if it had just been my dad, I probably would have gotten away with with successfully
Being picky?
hunger striking at meals.
You can't be picky.
Doesn't happen in an Italian household. Neither does it. Neither are you allowed to treat mealtimes like a diner with a menu. What you get is what you get.
Whoa,
And you are
no,
gonna
you
sit
were,
there.
that was, oh yeah, you'll sit there. You can sit there. That's fine. If you don't like it, you have two options. You can sit there until you eat it, or you can make something for yourself.
My sister famously, because she was a little bit more stubborn than I was, to no avail, to no avail. She did famously fall asleep at the table one night and sleep there all night. She would not eat her I think it was like steak or something, but she'd had enough. She called my mom's bluff and she slept at the table.
That is,
Again, to no avail. There was no policy change that happened
yeah,
after that. It was a bit it's a
no,
bit fruitless, but
right, yeah, my mom's mom was infamously mean about finishing your dinner, and she could be, they called her Grandma Jackass. Her name was Jackie.
That's what I'm calling Jody from now on.
Grandma Jackass.
Grandma Jackass.
Oh, hell yeah. They called her variously. The kids called her Grandma Jackass because she lived part of the year at a cottage on the lake that had like this community. So the kids called her Grandma Jackass, but the adults called her the bitch of the beach.
I love it.
She was like whip smart, but a mean lady.
Yeah.
And she, one time, this is like the story that would circulate through the kids when some kid was of the, many grandkids who were sort of pitching a fit about not wanting to eat something, say, well, no matter what you do, Grandma Jackie is going to make you finish it. And the story of this was that my uncle one time did not want to drink milk
A
for,
crime in Canada.
oh yeah, you have to drink what comes out of those bags, apparently.
There's the storage isn't, you can't put it back.
you cannot. No. It's over for you if you pour it. My uncle, yeah, didn't like drinking milk, didn't like it, and he refused to drink it, and then said he would put rice, the rice from dinner, in it if, and so he wouldn't have to drink it. And my grandma called his bluff and said,
Oh
okay, put the rice in
no.
there, fine, but you still have to drink it. And he sat at the table until she shuffled him off to bed with the glass of milk full of rice still sitting in front of it. And you know what he got for breakfast? That glass of milk. She made him drink it. Like, she was
Grandma
like, I'm not giving
Jackass.
you breakfast, I'm not doing nothing. She verged into, you can't parent like this anymore.
No, you cannot.
You can't parent like Grandma Jackass.
No.
It's not allowed.
Yeah,
But all the kids are, they're not fine.
that
they're just not fine. But yeah, that's how we, the, and this is how we do, this is how we do
is how we do snacks and parenting
snacks and parenting in
in Canada.
Canada and ethnic, white, racial taxonomies.
There you go, yeah. So
It's important.
Marika, who is not Eastern European, from what I can tell, is going to host, I guess, this like birthday party for Christina at the end of the week, which we're going to talk about later because it's really,
It's crazy.
it's a crazy planning process and it's a crazy event that happens. But
Insane.
she's talking to Christina, and one thing I liked about this conversation is because I guess Marika is friends with Jody as well. Is Christina just comes out and says, "Yeah, Jody scares me. She scares the shit out of me." Which reminded
Yeah.
me, remember Bronwyn's
Brought to
text about
Britain.
Brittany that was like, "She makes me
Makes me
nervous."
nervous. Yes, exactly the same.
Yeah,
And I get it.
she's frightening. I'm scared of Jody, and I
I'm scared of Jody.
probably never
Jody's.
gonna cross paths with her.
No, she seems mean. Grandma Jackass seems mean.
Grandma Jackass does seem mean. Grandma Jackass takes Reiko and her daughter to like a J Brand shop in Canada. This was like 2008, so I guess J Brand was like, or 2012 or something. It was like still a big deal. The colors of those jeans were like very 2012.
Illegal now. You can't wear bright purple jeans. You can't wear bright orange jeans. Come on.
Kelly Green jeans. Oh my God.
Those I remember being, 17 and wanting those jeans, but I was 17. I feel like I can be excused.
What she does
So,
nonstop, though, at this store is what she's been doing throughout the first two episodes, which is like the constant negging, which is like she's so, I can't tell if she's good or bad at it. She, I mean, I clock it immediately, but no one else seems to clock it. So maybe she's good by Canadian standards, but by coastal American standards, she's not very good. Because she seems to put people down constantly. She says Reiko could feed a barnyard with her boobs, which like is a compliment because it's like your boobs are big, but it's also so crass and crude that
it's
it's also a put down at the same time. It's
I've been
she has a way of like pointing out qualities that are stereotypically complimentary, but framing them in such a way that it's like incredibly offensive.
well, this is the thing I think I'm trying to track as I'm watching The Real Housewives of Vancouver, because what I do think is these shows really offer us a kind of, especially their early iterations or their singular iterations, they offer us a little window into what it meant to be on TV in the past, which is, I think, very important because we know, of course, every American wants a media career. That's why anybody does anything here. And Canada, that's less so. But clearly, this is a clutch of women who want some kind of a media career. So they're behaving in ways that are, they're behaving as though they're in front of a camera. And that's it's an important thing to track. But what I'm trying to track is the way that this has changed with time, particularly like the rise of the influencer and social media and so on. Because this is like, Facebook launched 5 years before, but it hadn't reached the ubiquity
No.
by that point, right? That's 13 years ago.
In a sense, I wonder if it's because, I mean, this was pretty early on in Housewives history too. There weren't many US, there were like maybe three or four US franchises by this point. I don't know if franchises is the right word, but like iterations of how of housewifery.
Housewifery.
Housewifery. And so they did have some modeling, but not a lot. They certainly didn't have a homegrown model in Canada for
No,
this.
no.
And so I think a lot of it is like not really knowing how certain personalities are going to translate on screen. And Jody, I thinks that everything she's saying is hysterical, and she's like snarky and quick and endearing, and it's really just landing as creepy and
And
cruel.
mean. I
And
think there's definitely some of that.
her
But
daughter.
also her
Go
daughter.
ahead.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about her daughter
We'll
in
talk about
just one
the
second because I
daughter.
think the daughter is also a clue to what we're talking about with Jody and her behavior on camera. But also, too, like the other thing that I think is very important that's happening here, because it was also something I could see in like the early seasons of Real Housewives of Orange County, is the different ways that people that women are called upon or not called upon to talk about other women, particularly their bodies. So basically what I'm trying to say here is I think that some of what we're seeing with Jody is exactly what you just said, is that like she's trying to be funny. She doesn't quite have the model of like, yes, for sure. But also there is a genuine and real like culture, like temporal cultural difference that is taking place that it's the pre very much like pre-woke, pre-ideas of woke, however we want to feel about that. It's before that reached the where it is today. Then you would get what you would get called out for or upset about was political correctness, right? Oh, that's just not very PC. It's not very politically correct. Whereas now it has a completely different valence. And so these things sound very different to us
They do,
than they would have even seemed in, 2012, 2013. But then there's her daughter.
Her daughter's name is Mia, I think. Is it Mia?
Mia,
Mia.
Mia.
They're menace. Their laugh is crazy.
Insane. The laugh,
But I also
terrifying.
am constantly, I'm always waiting for Mia's laugh to turn into tears.
Yeah, it's not a happy laugh.
It's very much a nervous laugh. It feels performative for her mother. I have to imagine growing up with Jodie was not a picnic.
It couldn't have been fun. It couldn't have been the most exciting. I mean, she's constantly talking
You're
about
gonna
why.
drink that rice milk.
Oh yeah, you're not only gonna drink it, you're gonna tell me how good it was.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna insult you for having drunk in it.
Yeah,
Drink.
absolutely. I'm gonna insult you and call you fat for having done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's vi the laugh freaks me out because she holds her mouth open so much. It scares me.
Yes.
I don't like
And she
this.
and her eyes go away into the corners of the room, which is always,
Yes.
when someone laughs that way, it is so unsettling. Like they're like, oh, you're looking around for validation, but you're also like, you're not looking around for validation from a human being.
No.
Looking
Whether
for God,
something,
a ghost, something
anything,
that I can't
any kind
see.
of validation that, yeah, no, we, no, we're not privy to the kind of validation that's being
No.
sought when someone is laughing, looking at the ceiling.
We'll talk about this later, but the way that Jodie interacts with Mary, I think, is probably, I would guess, very similar to how Jodie interacts with Mia, which is Jodie says something that is offensive or hurtful. M Mary slash Mia reacts to it, and Jodie's response is, "Well, why did you take it so personally? You should go to therapy. Like,
Oof.
why do you care so much about what I think?" It's very much like it's your fault for being so sensitive, which is a classic toxic maternal
Oh,
thing.
yeah. Classic toxic maternal thing, and also would have had a certain because of this difference in culture now would have had purchase then. In a way, it could not now. Now we hear you hear that like, oh, you're too sensitive. Maybe you should have therapy. It's like, oh, I'm being fucking manipulated right now. Get away from me. Don't talk to me. Then you could get a foothold with somebody by saying that. You really could. Like, so much of what we're trying to deal, what people are trying to deal with online is what happened in relationships of all sorts, platonic, parental, familial, or romantic in 2012, 2013, 2014, but also people who carried those sensibilities into the more recent past. That's really what we're trying to deal with,
For sure.
almost all the time because people acted like monsters.
Yeah, well, who did we elect? When did he start? When did he start popping off again? What year? 2008
2012.
to 2012, about?
I think he first ran for president in 2012.
Did he run for president in 2012?
He threatened it, I think, because that was like at the
Yeah,
height of the
but
birtherism.
I think that, well, yeah, but the birtherism thing was an outgrowth of Obama calling him a jackass at some point,
Yes.
right? But
Yeah, at the correspondence dinner.
that didn't happen until, God, it's all his fault, isn't it?
Obama? Yes.
Yeah, it's all his fault.
Absolutely.
This is all his fault. Wow.
Since we're on this little tip right at the moment about the let's say political situation, I would encourage any listener who needs to understand Jody a little bit to go take a little gander, a little look-see at her Twitter page
Oh no.
now.
Is it bad?
Oh my God. It is.
What kind of bad is it? Is it RFK bad, or is it Trumpy bad? What is it? Is it MAHA? What's the all the above?
I'm gonna coin a new term for everybody. Because I think it gets at the heart of something and we've been resistant to it. It's Muskian.
Oh God. That is, ugh.
It is a toxic wasteland of,
Yeah. I mean,
oh wow, to Great Replacement Theory style shit. Oh yeah, these blacks, AI slop of IDF soldiers hugging Israel, crazy banana pants, evil shit.
if you live in Vancouver and you're racist against black people, like you're doing that like that you're not even
You're doing it because you
exposed.
enjoy it. You're
Yes,
doing it because you like it.
you are seeking that shit out.
Absolutely. There, don't get me wrong. There are black people there. Yes. But again, the black population in Canada hovers between 3 and 4%. And they're not primarily on the West
No.
Coast. There are some, but not really.
And they're not
British
bothering
Columbia,
Jody.
absolutely not. British Columbia is named British Columbia because it was conceived of as like a white haven in terms of in terms of the provinces of Canada. That's why it's British. It is very much that. That's why there's a huge neo-Nazi problem, for example, in London, Ontario, and why the Canadians got rid of Berlin, Ontario. Yeah, and the Nazis in Canada, white supremacists in Canada have clustered around places that have these kinds of British names
That good
because that
old,
is primarily the kind of ethnic white that white Canadians are. And if you're talking about the scourge of black people in British Columbia, yeah, you just like it.
I don't want to look at her Twitter page. I think I'm going to close
It's
it.
it sucks.
I mean, I've been
I
doing a
did the
lot of,
research.
I've been doing a lot of not looking at Twitter because I just don't want to these days.
Yeah, it's not great over there.
I don't.
Unfortunately, some of us are very, very, very ill and need to look at it. But yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Oof, I'm not surprised it's Muskian because I do get the sense. I mean, thank God this woman wants to be a caterer slash reality star because I do think she has the cunning and the intellect. If she had decided to go into
Something bigger.
something that could have actually had an impact on the world, she would have been a destructive force.
Yes.
Destructive. She
Yes.
would be leading the Canadian annexation party.
Sadly, she's not the Queen of Canada, which was an incredible cultural event that perhaps we will talk about as we move through this series, because it is just bonkers. But sadly, that was not Jody.
So our other friends, Ronnie and Mary, meet up. I think it's on Ronnie's yacht. I'm not sure whose yacht it is. Ronnie also claims to have a private jet, but she was also boarding that private jet over a welcome mat that clearly stated like jetlink.com on it, like a jet rental service. So I'm not sure I'm necessarily believing the extent of Ronnie's transport assets. But two things about Ronnie. One, hit me while I was watching, she's evil Meredith Marks. She's
I
Meredith
think
Marks,
that's
but she doesn't eat. And she's angry.
yeah, he's mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, Meredith Marks is angry, but Meredith Marks has a reason to be angry for the most part. It's usually, her persecution complex or,
Oh yeah.
some perceived slight. Ronnie's
Yeah,
just mad.
she's pissed off. I mean, you cannot. Ladies, you can't, you will be upset if all you eat is celery and mustard. I'm telling you.
Well, celery and for her, a mix of horse pills every morning, crunched up
Yeah.
in lukewarm tap water.
Yeah, that was aggressive. I
Oh
think
my God, her poor son was dry heaving trying
he's,
to.
oh yeah, just retching into the sink. Like, oh, yeah, I mean,
One thing,
she's Maha now, I'm sure of it.
I would believe that. One thing about Ronnie that stuck out to me was her relationship with Mary is very interesting to me. She clearly does not like Mary, but Mary is still under the impression that Ronnie
That
likes
they're
her.
friends.
And Ronnie is not like, she's not like dispersing that illusion. She's saying, yeah, I'll be in your corner. I've got your back, whatever. But I don't think, as a white person, I have fully understood the concept of playing in someone's face until I've watched Ronnie talk to Mary. Like, she's playing in her face. She is like, oh
Absolutely.
yeah, I'm totally in your, I totally have your back. I totally have your back, smiling, knowing that the
Saying, I will
audience.
defend you.
Well, the sneaky part is, or the insidious thing is, I think she knows the audience doesn't believe it. She knows that Mary believes it, but I think she knows the audience doesn't believe it, but she thinks the audience thinks Mary is so pathetic that they'll side with her automatically, which is, I think, a common housewife pitfall. I think we've seen it on other shows. People do not like to kick the underdog when they're down, or to pile on the meek sort of, I mean, Mary is
No.
there are pathetic qualities to Mary a little bit.
Mary is certainly meek. I will, unless something changes pretty drastically, she's pretty meek
But so many women seem
overall.
to go on these shows thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna pick on this like complete dork and people are gonna love it. And I don't think ever, not once, has it ever worked. I mean, it didn't work out for the tornado.
No.
It is
Oh
never,
God.
it's never worked out for anyone who's decided to like go on television and just like grab someone by the back of the neck and shove their face in something.
No.
This to me, there were a lot of parallels between her treatment of Mary and like Dorinda and Tinsley and that whole thing that happened where Dorinda got put on pause because of this exact behavior. I don't know why people think it's ever going to land. It never has worked, I think, in the history of reality television.
No. I think the most successful version of it would be if you put Lisa Barlow and Whitney in those roles.
Whitney's not meek,
Whitney is
though.
not meek.
Yeah.
Whitney isn't meek.
No.
It's the you get the most successful version of it because there was, especially in those first three seasons, more of a meekness to Whitney.
Yeah. I think it's
But Lisa didn't wasn't going after her then the way she
yeah.
does now.
I think it's a misunderstanding on the part of the aggressor
Yes.
between the difference between towards the difference between being pitiful and being pitiable.
Yes.
And they think Ronnie thinks Mary is pitiful. The audience receives her as pitiable. And there's a
Yes.
distinction.
There is a distinction.
Yeah.
There is a huge distinction.
And Jodi, I
Like,
think, operates that way too. She thinks everything that Mary's going through is like is a product of her own behavior. And the way it's being presented on television is Mary is a victim of people's behavior.
That's
It's
right.
interesting to see people try to navigate that distinction. I think it's too fine a distinction for television. I don't think we have the definition to see that.
Yeah, that's really hard to pull off on television.
Yeah.
Cuz it's just hard to pull off narratively in I think in general that distinction. Just because like on the one hand it's close they're close to each other. It's like a fine membrane between pitiful, pitiable. But also like I have to think, I don't want to say this with 100% with certainty, like I can't, but I will certainly sort of suggest that what makes it so difficult is that it relies on a bunch of gazes, a bunch of looks at one thing that we it, like it's very hard to actually take on the way the other is looking at a third party, right? It's actually really hard. Usually it takes some certain kinds of convincing because like someone who is pitiable but not necessarily pitiful is going to might or is not going to but might elicit certain like a certain amount of sympathy and then a certain amount of empathy from people looking at them in their situation. And the aggressor is saying, no. Don't, you shouldn't see that. You should see that it's actually pathetic. So that's a problem. And then also, like, it's very easy for and it, we see it a lot in actual like in actual narratives, in narrative structures, for someone that appears at first to be pitiable, to have it be revealed that they are in fact pitiful. Like that's a very common narrative arc. One of the great examples of this, not in The Housewives, is what is it? George O'Malley from Grey's Anatomy. He is one of the great pitiable, too pitiful, character arcs.
Is this the guy played by
T.R. Knight.
See the guy who got fired for saying for the slurs?
No, he's
No.
who got that guy fired
Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
and got fired himself because he was started going after other people in the cast.
Got it.
Yeah.
The guy who got fired for the slurs, I mean, he looks like a TR Knight.
That's kind of true.
That feels like a more appropriate name for him.
Well, his name is Isaiah Washington.
Okay, so never
So,
mind.
never mind.
Withdrawn.
TR Knight for him is like a J.K. Rowling name.
No.
Oh my God.
Oh man, that's good.
Oh, dear God.
That's
Continue.
like that shoot the character on Abbott Elementary who c constantly confuses like white celebrities for black celebrities because those white celebrities have black names. Do you know
Oh
about
my
this?
God, I don't remember this. I haven't watched Abbott in a while, but I don't remember this character.
I have to find a couple of them. It's very funny. Let me just do a quick Google. I mean, one of them is Michelle Williams. She's like, yeah. Which fair enough. But let me see. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she confuses like Tommy Lee Jones with James Earl Jones.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's fair.
Oh, Darren Star, the guy who wrote Sex and the City. She's like, you're telling me Darren Star is not a black
Yeah, that's crazy.
man?
That's actually nuts. That feels wrong.
Yeah. I think
Mm-mm.
there are a couple other ones, but the yeah, I the I Isaiah Washington does beat out T.R. Knight, I think, every time.
Every time. Oh my God. Well, T.R. Knight came back on, did not come back on the show ever, and Isaiah Washington did have a late
Oh.
cameo in season 10.
Did he get a redemption arc?
A little bit, but not like a big one. They killed T.R. Knight.
Oh,
He was
wow.
he they dead. He got
Okay.
hit by a bus.
That's great. They really wanted him gone.
Oh,
Wow.
yes.
So speaking of pitifulness, pitiability, weaponized therapy speak,
Oh dear.
Jody, Mia, and Reiko go for lunch, and Jody keeps, I mean, this has got to be one of the most pernicious examples of, I think, weaponized like therapy speak. Jody keeps talking about like how Mary needs to do all this internal work, quote unquote,
So evil.
to deal with all of the bullying that Jody is inflicting on her. It's so good. It's like, what is that?
Oh.
Is that technically, is that vertical integration?
Oh my God. I mean, kind of, right?
It would be vertical integration if Jody was also the therapist in this situation. I'm gonna bully you
Well,
into needing therapy, and I'm the therapist.
see, I could see, I could see a definitely like a kickback racket for a therapist like in the same building,
Yeah.
as her cupcakery.
In another life, I could see Jody being an absolutely like terrifyingly narcissistic and manipulative therapist who like destroys lives.
Oh, wait a second now.
I
Hold
know.
on.
That's a Stephen King novel.
Ah!
Maybe that's the exact energy that she has, is the therapist. I mean, you walk in and you're like, no, vibes are off.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't the one.
First and last session. Nope.
Yeah, this is not the one.
Yeah. They did mention that Mary is getting a medical degree online.
Yeah,
And
what?
if this is
What?
true, I mean, Mary has not brought this up once on the show, so I'm sort of skeptical that it's happening. If this is true, it's the one and only time that I will say Jody is absolutely right for bullying her. Like, you need to be bullied if you are trying to get a medical degree online. You
Absolutely.
need to be bullied into submission. We,
Absolutely.
you're hearing it now. Not above it is the MACA podcast. Make America Credentialed
Oh my God. Okay, I'm not co-signing that for several reasons. I'm not co-signing that from the left, not the right. This is very, it's a complicated position that I'm not going to get into right now, but okay. So a medical degree online. First of all, this is, guys, not a thing. It's fake.
It can't, yeah, no. There's great
What it,
doctors in Canada. You can't get a medical degree. That's crazy.
no.
No.
What it could be is that you could do a certain amount of like a pre-med degree online.
Or maybe one of those, what is it called? Like, oh, you know what this could be? There's actually a guy who's bananas. He's part of the MAHA movement, predictably, who I think he has a medical degree, but he's not board certified. And he ended up getting board certified, I think, in Canada, but by like a fake, not a fake, I don't know if it's fake, but like a very tenuous board that like oversees like indigenous medical practices.
Oh no.
But I don't think it's actually backed by any real indigenous organizations. I think it's like white people cosplaying as like indigenous medical experts or whatever. But
Oh
it could be something like that, or you
oh
know,
no.
chiropractors or some shit.
We're back at Muskian. But the other thing it could be is there is a real board of like Chinese medicine, ch like traditional Chinese medicine in Canada that also like it is actually fairly it's pretty robust, and it's like it's a real thing, and I'm not sneering at it at all. I could see it being related to that also.
Similar to
That's possible.
the fake indigenous board.
Yeah,
That's
it
not really
could
in that's
be.
not really indigenous, yeah.
Yeah, she could be trying to become like an acupuncturist kind of thing,
A
and you sort of
rake.
have to go through that, or Reiki.
Doctor of Reiki, healing hands. Anyway, it's the only, if it's true, then Mia and Jody are welcome to bully her out of getting a medical degree online, and that would be a I think a positive use of their skills.
That would be fair.
Mary and Christina get lunch, and they're very clearly bonding over how much they both hate Jody, but what was interesting about this scene to me is Mary is very clearly getting angry about things that she doesn't even remember, that she's recapping. And that is a trope that I'm seeing as, like, honestly indispensable to the Housewives formula, right? Like, so many things happen in social scenarios that people don't clock. And
Yes.
then this show, every show, every Housewives show depends on getting lunch the next day, recapping it, and then realizing, hey, what the fuck? I actually should be mad about that thing Jody said, even though
Yes,
in the
that's right.
moment I didn't care about it. And
Yeah, it just blew right over my
if we
head.
weren't doing this right now, I would probably forget about it and not care.
Yes.
I don't even remember what she, I think she's talking about the Whistler lunch or something,
I
or
think it was the Whistler lunch, yeah.
where Jody was telling her that she like, it's so, I mean, it's really diabolical that like Jody couches all of her bullying in this like faux concern for Mary's well-being. Like,
It's so.
I just want you to stick up for yourself and to not let men walk all over you. I'm like, you love that men walk all over. Like,
Love it. You're getting off on it, as a
it's
matter of
probably
fact.
your favorite thing about Mary.
Yes. And like, that is the thing about Jody. She is the concern troll under everyone's bridge. She is spectacularly good at concern trolling everybody around her.
Yeah, in this very toxically maternal way. It also goes to show, like, the dynamic between the two is like, it goes to show you how someone can be like supremely uninteresting. Like, Mary is not interesting. She's so boring. But
She
as a
is.
foil to Jody, who is so spectacularly evil, like,
Yeah.
she's interesting. She's an indispensable part of the show
That's
because
right.
she's, and so
Because the evil
Jody.
person made her the target.
Yes, and so Jody, in trying to make her seem pathetic and ineffectual, actually makes her sort of the anchor of the whole conflict and thereby the whole show,
Yes.
which is pretty
Yes,
delicious,
precisely. I love it.
pretty delicious. Yeah,
I mean, but also what a gift. Like, Mary would be so deeply boring.
so deeply boring. I don't think she. I mean, I'm surprised she got on the show, but.
No comment. No, but like, she's so deeply boring and like clearly not able to mobilize what I'm sure she used in her initial interviews, that she's sleeping with her ex-husband who cheated on her. She clearly can't use that, really, like use him, use that relationship, anything like that. So she really has nothing. What are we going to watch her go to online medical school? Like, this, none of this makes sense. So Jody is like,
Watch her go to online medical school. gonna watch her take Zoom classes.
Pre-Zoom. Like, yeah, what are we gonna do? So Jody gives her a kind of a great gift. I mean, it's a poison pill also, but it's like a great gift in that I'm making you interesting because you fucking
It's the first
suck.
time a housewife can actually go to a reunion and say, I made you relevant and mean
Exactly.
before we get into Christina's birthday, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. A couple of things. And I want to mostly talk about Christina towards the end of the episode because I think you and
Yeah,
I are
because this is
both
hers.
very, very fascinated by her. As we were listener Tasia and I were talking earlier today, and I'm going to let Tasia present her very fascinating theory, probably correct, on Christina Kiesel's national origins, based on, once again, white race science.
Absolutely, every day. It's what I do.
but I want to point out that on the show there are only two Canadians. Let's see, Ronnie's from Seattle. Mary's from Ohio, and
That's right.
Christina is from where, Tasia?
Oh, I believe she is directly from South Africa, you guys. I don't believe she is Australian. She may hold an Australian passport. She may have spent a portion of her childhood and adolescence in Australia. But that's a SAFR, guys. I'm so sorry. That's an Afrikaner right there.
The second you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that she has Elon Musk cadence. Like it's the same. Yep, that's what it is.
Yeah, she
But
said
she's also
something.
trying to hide it a little bit, which makes
She
it
is trying to hide
more,
it.
yeah.
And it may have fused a little bit with some Australian act, like genuine Australian accent. Like that is a thing. So, lots of white South Africans left during
Something happened. Something happened.
what is affectionately known as the coming of democracy in 1994. Many left around then, as many left slightly before, many left slightly after. There was a huge amount of white flight because before that, South Africa had devolved basically into a civil war. It was very violent, and a lot of white people left because they were sort of afraid that with the coming of democracy, quote unquote, they would be South Africa would turn into Zimbabwe, which had been Rhodesia. And if you ever hear anybody refer to themselves as a Rhodesian or Rhodesia, that is a person to put on a list and watch very carefully. And I'm not talking about a police list. I'm
From a
talking about
distance.
a like, yeah, keep a good amount of distance. It's a rule. Anybody who refers to themselves as a Rhodesian, they have an accent you can't quite place, run. That's a very scary person. But yeah, there was a lot of white anxiety about South Africa becoming like Zimbabwe, where the whites were more or less driven out of the country. And yeah, they're a very special ethnic white.
Yeah, they call it packing for Perth, according to Wikipedia.
Packing for Perth.
Well, apparently it's like I think another
The
reason it's
thing.
I would not say that she is necessarily, if it is true, a lot of the shame associated with packing for Perth from what I've read about is not actually oh, that means your parents were apartheidists and they didn't want to
No.
live. It's actually because other white South Africans who stayed in South Africa thought you were weak for leaving.
Yes, indeed. There's a lot. Yeah, that's the other thing is like, okay, it is pure speculation that she's like a South African that, by sort of, or she's Australian by way of South Africa or whatever. I'm speculating.
But it's interesting that there's nothing on the internet.
Yeah.
I scoured. There's not even very much
Yeah.
about the fact that I know she's lived in Australia at some point is a product of some deep Google searching.
Yeah.
And it was not readily available information. And there's nothing connecting her to South Africa. But yes, I speculate right
That
alongside you.
accent, because it's
It's
just you, I rem in
damning.
the
It's
in the
damning.
last yeah in the last episode you were like, no, she's I think she's Australian from what I understand, and if you listen to her accent, you'll catch it. And so I spent while I was watching this episode, I was like, okay, let me clock this Australian accent. Let me find it. And then she said something, and I should have written down exactly what she said, but the way she said it, I was like, oh no, I know exactly what you are.
Was it sometimes they hit like the I sound, like an ah? That is a
It might
giveaway.
have been something like that, but it was actually like a phrase that I've had quite a large amount of exposure to white South Africans, so I know I'm doing research. This it's research. I'm not putting anyone in a zoo. I'm not doing anything like that. It's research. And so I've been around a lot of white South Africans, including ones that have moved to Australia. And she I should have written it down. If I
Dead
remember to do
ringer.
it, I'll get it. And I was like, oh, I know exactly. I know where you're from. I even think I know what part of South Africa you're from.
And she dates a lot of miners, like platinum miners. That, come on.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's yeah, you,
I did find posts on Instagram where she said that she tries to go to Africa as often as possible.
oh, then she's
So,
absolutely a South African,
yeah.
100%. That also it has like white South Africans, especially like ones that have left or have a family who left South Africa. They yes, in many cases are perceived as weak by the whites that stayed, but also they do have a certain amount of whether it is genuine, ingenuine, whatever, they have a certain amount of shame about apartheid. Like they do.
Yeah, no. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It's like they don't have to have believed in it, but what they definitely know, even if they
Especially
don't
because they.
consciously know it, is
Yeah.
they for a period of like 50 years. And I think the word she actually said was years, which is how a South African would say it. It was something like this.
Got
I think she said, I'm turning 30 years. And I went, oh, girl, I
it.
got you. But for a
Clocked.
period, yeah, for a period of over 50 years, they were the most privileged people on the planet. Like they were. And, they, And there's a for some of it will have to do with shame, and some of it will have to do with the feeling that their country was taken away from them because they tumbled down from the top of the privilege pyramid.
And then they had to move to another country that
And then they had to move
successfully exterminated its indigenous population.
precisely. And some of them went to Canada and some of them went to Australia. And those are countries that are also settler colonies that were far more successful in they're settling, despite the fact that like Afrikaners is the their forefathers that are like Dutch and French Huguenots and like this strange mix of Europeans that didn't want the Enlightenment have been there since the like this
1600s.
early 17th century. Like they've been there for 500 years, and so there's shame, there's disappointment, there's embarrassment. I don't envy their psychic worlds.
Neither do I. She is also, in addition to possibly being a South African, extremely flaky.
Oh yeah, and this I have to stand. I love it. Go, you don't have to go no place. And, but also, girl, it's your birthday. You can do whatever you want.
Well, here's the thing. This is what's confusing to me. A couple things happened. The only person that she was supposed to be that she flaked on who had like a semi-healthy response is Reiko, who is actually my favorite right now. She's the only person who like seems
I like
okay.
Reiko.
I Googled Reiko. Apparently she's now in a relationship with a woman. I love that. Like she seems to have really leveled
Powerful.
out in a great way. But she was supposed to meet Reiko to get her nails done. Reiko's like, well, I'm here. I'm just going to get my nails done, which I thought was great. She just read a magazine. It was like, I don't care.
It's like, okay.
Ronnie, however, meets her for a
Yes.
glass of wine. She's 40 minutes late, and Ronnie's like, I'm on my third glass of wine. Third glass of wine in 40
Third glass.
minutes? And all you had
Ronnie is
today was a
drunk.
kelp supplement?
Yeah, she is drunk. Like
Yeah.
she is a she is the housewife that does not eat and drinks a ton of white wine. And white
Yeah,
wine drunk is so special.
it is.
It's so special. And the combination of clearly an eating disorder with
The unfocused anger that will produce
oh my God.
the aura of not even resentment, ressentiment.
You, oh yeah.
Like
Oh yeah.
just
She
radiating.
must hate everything. Like she must be miserable.
Yeah. I do
Reiko, by the
wonder.
way, looks incredible now.
Yeah, she looks great. And
Beautiful.
I'm, very happy for Reiko. I think she got away after one season, didn't come back for the second. I think she was like, this is nuts. I don't need it. But I do wonder though if like because okay, so this happened over the course of a week where like Christina is like flaking, 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 flaking on people. People are like, we haven't heard from her in 3 days. I wonder if she's going to show up to her birthday party. That's when you call for a
Yeah,
wellness
that's
check.
when it's like we haven't heard from you in 3 days.
So the day of her party, they still haven't heard from her. I'm like, I'm sorry. So you haven't heard from this woman in 7 days, in 5 business days? And you are still planning a birthday party and expecting her to show up? You need to knock down the door of her apartment and drag her
You need to
out.
go find out if she's all right. Like,
Yes.
she may not be.
She is fine.
Of course.
It turns out this party is bananas. It's not even a party. It's like a really gruesome get together.
It's a gathering.
A lot of things happen that I think we've got to touch on. Number one, Jody arrives and says that her only connection to Marika is through her husband, who she immediately accosts physically. Like koala hugs him and like lands on the bed, and Marika's just watching this happen. Again, never understood the meaning of playing in someone's face until I watched these white women from Vancouver do it.
Yeah. Well, it is a misunderstanding that Canadians are nicer. Like, it's not true.
I'm learning that. But I mean, I've never seen such like blatant
Yeah.
playing in someone's face. I really didn't have a physical example in my mind of what it would look like to play in someone's face until I watched Ronnie sit down across from Mary, play in her face, and until I watched Jody dry hump Marika's husband on their marital bed in front of her.
While Marika goes, they're having an orgy in there.
While downplaying in the confessionals her friendship with Marika and saying, well, I don't really know her. I know her, I love her
I know her
husband,
husband.
but I don't really know her.
Girl, what are you saying?
Oh my God, she's a menace. I kind of like Marika. She's like I sort of enjoy her, like she's talking to herself while she's doing her makeup. She's just kind of like, eh, like
Yeah, no,
just
I
here to throw
like her. I
parties.
liked her.
I like her
She
energy.
Yeah, her energy is sore as a little bit calmer than everybody
It's
else's.
a little early seasons Dorinda,
There it is.
before the tornado comes out. It's like the hostess with the mostest, talking to herself, kind of loopy, and before the, the second martini hits.
Good God. Oh, Dorinda.
Christina does show up after her GBFF drags her out of her condo. Gruesome is the word that kept coming to mind when I was thinking about this party because Christina clearly did not want to be there. Imagine your 30th birthday party. It's 6 to 8 women that you don't like
And clearly do not like
and
you.
who clearly do not like you.
Yeah.
And they put her through the ringer, like this Fortune 500
Yeah.
magazine thing. Ronnie brings a copy of Fortune 500 magazine from the year prior, and she's so proud of how like bitchy and like this joke is going to be. She
It's
gives
true.
Christina the magazine. She's like, look, you can look through this for your next husband. She cannot stop explaining the joke, which the best jokes need to be narrated multiple times.
Multiple times, different words,
The
synonyms.
best part about this though is Christina's confessional immediately after, where she's like, I know they want me to be upset about the magazine. Period. Dot dot dot. No.
Yeah, no.
She's like, I'm declining. The t-shirt was also really stupid and gross. She got like a t-shirt that said Gold Digger on the front and said something horrible on the back, right? It was
Yeah,
like,
what did it say on the back?
it's basically said, I'm a whore. Come on.
Yeah, I mean they both imply and like call her a whore. It was something like what was on the back is like I'm a hooker but better paid or
Or
something like
smarter.
that.
I'm smarter. I'm a hooker,
Smarter,
but
yeah.
smarter.
First of all, who even says hooker
But also, am
anymore?
I supposed to believe that any of these women married their husbands for anything other than their money or their status?
Not one of their husbands is good looking. Can we just start there?
They're either projecting insecurity about how they got their husband, or
Deeply.
they are projecting fear about how a woman like Christina could interfere with their marriage.
Right. Yes, it is absolutely a it's definitely projection of some kind,
Yeah.
that because she is a, like, Mary is clearly, like, Ronnie may not like her, but she's not targeting her per se. She's just not.
I mean, the gift was targeted. The
No,
gift was.
I said Mary,
Oh, Mary, sorry.
not Christina. I'm coming back to Christina.
Got it.
Mary isn't being targeted yet, except sort of by Jody. And Joe, and Grandma Jackass is not kind.
No. That
But
fucking tiara on the stole.
yeah, oh, the tiara to someone else's birthday party is
She
extremely tacky.
looks like a understudy for a community theater production of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And she's
Ooh, that's aggressive and
the
kind of true. Also, her hair always looks terrible.
It looks
Jody's hair is
so
awful. It looks
bad.
like straw. It is not well kept.
No, it's
It,
so
it can,
long. It's
ugh.
the witch, the White Witch of Narnia.
It's
Under
kind of
un
true.
understudy, understudy.
Understudy. It's kind
Community
of true.
theater, small town community theater production.
It's true. But Christina is absolutely being targeted by a bunch of these
Yes,
women.
in a really gross way. It's really
In a
hard to watch.
really, yeah, it's and it because it is very, it's very mean,
Very
and
mean.
it's betraying, like, a sort of economy of insecurity floating
Yeah.
between all of them, whether it's about the way they got their husband, whether it's about the way she threatens their keeping of their husband, or whether it's because she is very clearly 10 to 15 years younger than all of them. She's on her second divorce, powerful. She's on her second divorce, and she's, first of all, not pursuing any of their husbands.
No.
She's not really pursuing anybody.
No.
And she's 30, flirty, and thriving.
Yeah,
Like,
well,
I could see her being pissed, seeing them, I could see them being pissed
and I was
about
so,
her existence.
yeah, I was really impressed by her reaction, which was just to have
Yeah.
fun with it. She put the t-shirt on, she like grabbed the magazine, she took photos, which the photos are apparently going to resurface in the next episode and be super controversial. The second I saw Ronnie like waving that camera around, I was like,
Oh,
this
yeah. It's
bitch.
like, oh, someone's making evidence. Oh,
But
God.
she clearly doesn't care, and they so badly want her to care. That's why I think that confessional moment where she was like, I know they want me to be upset about it, no, is so powerful
It's that's
because
right.
they want her to both own what they're projecting onto her and also be embarrassed by it, and she's doing neither, and that's infuriating.
Yeah, well, she want they want her to own it by being embarrassed of it.
Yeah.
Not it they're it's not like it's not a separate operation that they're aiming for. They're aiming for one thing, which is like it's in certain ways it's very, it's like very Catholic. It's like confess and repent. Confess and repent, confess and repent. And she's like, Christina is like, no. Like, confess what? Repent for what? They're annoying and they're gone. Like, what the fuck? Who cares?
This was a really good litmus test, I think, though, for like you could immediately see which of these women are at their core like okay people and at their core not okay people, because the
That's
two
right.
people who were having the most fun with this nastiness were Jody and Ronnie. And once also notice how once the nastiness was not having its intended effect, Jody left. It was no
Yeah.
longer fun for her. Reiko and Mary were both like weirded out and offended and was like,
Yeah.
this is a bridge too far. But I think the after effects of this party are going to continue on at least ne until next week.
At least, yes, of
I
course.
mean, to think that Christina's going to be embarrassed by photos of what happened when she got on TV and did the same thing is pretty crazy, but
Right. There's like that's the thing. There's cameras everywhere
yeah, I'm like,
here.
she's gonna be in front of millions of viewers watching this, and you think she's worried about like your little MySpace camera? Like,
Yeah, she knows she's in her undercrackers on her
and she
birthday.
looks
She looks
fantastic.
amazing. Body T banging. Looks great.
Yes.
Like, her boob kept falling out of her stupid little pink dress. She's like, to hell with that. I got a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, she was had
She looked
a
great.
she
She was
did.
having
She
a good
looked great.
time.
She was having a great time. And you know what? Good. Cause like
She
that.
made real lemonade out of a bunch of lemon-faced ladies.
Yes, indeed. Yes, she did. She did. And good for her. And I hope she's doing well with her horses, because that's where she kind of is now.
It
She's like
seems
in the
like it.
country somewhere.
We'll talk more about Christina's illustrious post-television career, I think, in the coming weeks, because there's a lot of stuff that happened off camera that is interesting. There are a lot of like ellipses. We don't really know. A lot of gaps in the historical record when it comes to Christina.
Which I fascinating.
She's so fascinating. I wish, if I had to pick a South African to run the world, well,
I mean,
wouldn't be the ones that we have.
no, it's no good.
But that is episode two of season
Episode
one of The Real
two.
Housewives of Vancouver, and we will return next week with more input from our resident Canadian
Race scientist, white
race.
race scientist. I'm studying the white race. I'm trying to understand where y'all come from and what you're doing.
Who knows? Mars?
No, that's me. I'm from Mars.
It's...
You guys are not from Mars. That's why Elon, he cannot come. Do not come. I'm Kamala. Do not come. Do not come.
Do
And then, of course, I have Trump on the other side going,
not
"Good
come.
come, good come." Yeah. So this was unfortunately, or fortunately, who could say, a politics
Yeah,
podcast
man, we
today.
better.
But this is the thing. I'm very curious about the Real Housewives politics. It's very strange.
There's a woman on TikTok who like does deep dives on all of there. It's a little
Oh,
disappointing because, as you would guess, the majority are
monsters.
what you would guess.
Yeah, of course they are. The question is how. The question is how. There, and this is what is so important about, for me, about understanding the different kinds of white ethnicities that are possible, is how they are what you think they would be.
Well, I'm really hoping on that front for this Real Housewives of Rhode Island rumor to be true because, I mean, I've said this to you before, the Irish, the Italians, and the Portuguese have no business existing in the same community together, and that is Rhode Island. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of the criminal justice system there is a flood with cases involving aggravated assault, usually involving alcohol,
Oh,
sometimes happening at weddings.
I could see that. It feels right.
So
Yeah, I'm excited to know. I'm excited to find out. I really hope that that happens. I am quite curious to see if the Toronto one does get off the ground, because that is a very particular situation. That is a different kind of Canada than
very
Vancouver.
different kind of Canada, and a Canada that has, I think, come into being in the last like 20 years alone, which is really interesting. All right. Well,
Wow.
onward and northward.
Ooh,
All
not me. Not
right.
me, I can't go back.
All
See you next time,
right. See you
kids.
next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Not Above It, the podcast for serious people who love unserious TV. You can follow the show on Instagram at NotAboveItPod, and you can email me your thoughts, concerns, criticisms, hopes, dreams, love letters, diatribes, whatever you got, to notaboveitpodcast@gmail.com. I would love it if you could also please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate and review it. Please be kind, or don't. Spicy reviews are fine, they're welcome, they keep things interesting. All right, until next time, friends. Bye.